everybody. This is Audrey, and apparently you've decided to listen to episode 2 of Odd Pod. This was a good decision, and I feel like the rest of your day, nay, your week, is going to be better because you're already doing so well. Good thing it's near the end of the week. Let's get started. In episode 2, you're going to get to know Lindsay Fredrickson, who's a clarinetist, an educator, an administrator. She gets things done. She's also just a really fun and great person, so prepare yourself.
Okay, so we're here.
In my apartment.
I'm at Lindsay Fredrickson's house, and it's great, and there are googly eyes on the door, and I'm a huge fan. I guess we could, like, get to the interviewee stuff of the interview.
I mean, you know, you do you.
Also, I'm, like, taking a poll right now. I asked Peter the same thing. Can you give me your thoughts, your honest opinions about the name Odd Pod for this podcast? Because, did I tell you what this was called?
No.
Okay. Okay, so a friend of, like, I was trying to think of names for this podcast, like, trying to think of something clever and interesting. And somebody was like, you should just call it Odd Pod, like Audrey. Like,
oh, I like that.
And I can't decide how I feel about it because I feel weird that my name is a part of it. Like, I feel like I should leave my name out of it, but people seem to be okay with it. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I like it. I think it's clever. Because it's also like ODD odd.
That's true. Which would also be like applicable, honestly. Like,
right. Yeah. Real. Yeah. Or you could be the Snyder Report. Something like that.
Except I'll like mispronounce it or something. I don't know. It's a work in progress. We'll see how things unfold.
Kind of like it.
So far, I'm getting positive feedback, so I might stick with it. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first thing I want to ask you, the first thing I ask everybody, you know, all two of you, is how did you first get started in music? And like, how old were you? And
Sure. So I moved around a lot when I was little. So I kind of had a weird intro to music experience because I was living in Indiana at the time, and I was going to like this fancy ass private school that like, cue massive eye roll. was like, you know, high tuition, and they take everything very seriously. Uh-huh. And you could choose to be in band or strings or piano.
Oh my.
Or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, I chose band, and you had to try 4 instruments. So it was trumpet, trombone, flute, and clarinet. And I wanted to play the flute so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I wanted in life was to play the flute, like every little girl.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing. It's like, you want to play flute, and then you end up playing something else.
Yeah. And I tried it, and like, my pinky got stuck, and like, cracked really painfully over and over, and like, I was like, well, I can't do this. And trombone was so fun, and I should have gone with my gut and played the trombone. Because the trombone was awesome, and I would, like, chase the dog around the house with it. But clarinet was super easy, and I was like, this is just easy. I like this. This is, like, you press buttons down and notes happen. This is awesome. And so I just went with that. And then we moved. So, like, I was only in the program for a couple of weeks, and I switched schools. The new school was a different private school where they combined 4th and 5th graders together, and it was very religious.
Oh, my.
And there was the music program was, like, a general music program.
Oh, okay.
No band program. And then I was only at that school for, like, a few weeks, and then we moved to Iowa. And the whole time, I was just bugging my mom. I was like, I want to play the clarinet. Clarinet's fun. I want to play it. Can I play it? We checked the garage sale ads all the time for clarinets. And eventually found one and bought it from a garage sale.
Nice.
And, So that was actually kind of how that started. And it actually worked out really cool because my private teacher, my first one, ended up being my band director later. Mm-hmm. And she was amazing and awesome. And, yeah. So I studied with her and her husband for 5 years. But I don't know. It was just kind of random. My dad would want me to say that he was a musician and that inspired me somehow, but he really wasn't a musician. Like, he went to college for piano and then never graduated and then sold his piano and never played. So, it's not like I grew up around music, and I'm more familiar with like Billy Joel than classical music. Uh-huh. So, and that was kind of how I got into it.
Oh, cool. At what point were you like, I think I might, you know, go and do this, like, in college, and...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never really questioned it. I remember like this weird moment in eighth grade, and I know where I was sitting and what, like, I kind of remember what we were playing. I think we were practicing next year's marching band music for incoming freshmen, and I was like, oh, I want to do this for the rest of my life, and that was just it.
Oh,
I
wow.
I really want to do this forever.
Damn.
Yeah. And
like
I'm
a nice realization to have.
Yeah. No, and like, I don't know, my family is very, they like praise people that never change their mind, so from that point forward, there was a lot of pressure not to change my mind. So I kind of stuck with it in times when maybe I shouldn't have, but yeah, I mean, music in general has definitely always been what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I'm glad you stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went to DePaul for your undergrad, and then you went to Eastman for your master's.
Yes.
And that's where we met. And how did your goals or like your trajectory change from the beginning of DePaul to like the end of Eastman, basically?
So much. So much. Oh my God, I'm like not even the same person. Well, I went into school. I wanted to be a major clarinet player in an orchestra somewhere in the world, and I wanted to win a job. I started as a double major, actually, in clarinet performance and music ed, because everyone told me I wouldn't be able to get a job without a music ed degree.
Right.
And at DePaul, the way it works is at the end of your second year, you have to petition to major.
Oh, okay.
So you're not allowed to really declare a major until you're approved.
Oh, it's like that. You have like one of those like barrier exams?
Yeah, there's like basically a jury, but it's called a petition. And so I was like freaking out about this petition and practicing my butt off, and I passed the performance petition, and at that time I was like, I can't double major if I'm gonna really take this seriously and become a orchestral player. So I dropped my music ed major, and looking back on it, that was a terrible, terrible decision. So I did that, and I like really forced that to happen, and ended up going to Eastman, which was my dream school since I was like 10 years old. I wanted to go to Eastman for like no real logical reasons. I just had a good feeling about it.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And then ended up there, and I was just insanely unhappy for my first year. Not at Eastman. Eastman's an amazing place. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I really hate what I'm doing. Like, I have no desire to play my instrument.
Yeah.
I was just, like, really depressed, and I was like, why don't I want to do this? And it just kind of, like, finally just gave in and was like, you know, it's okay to not want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I don't want to play clarinet or I don't want to be in music. It was just, I don't want to take auditions for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, practice by myself in a tiny room, then go to a rehearsal where everybody tells you that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
And, like, to fix everything that I just practiced and then try again. Like, it's just not...
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was having this conversation last night with a friend of mine. But it's like, I went into music for totally different reasons than the academic...
And then we weren't recording anymore. So we stopped, and I figured out what the problem was. And then we started recording again. And during the part where I didn't realize we were recording... Lindsay actually talks about a program in Rochester run by a guy named Alex Pena, which it's an El Sistema program, and it's rock music as in ROC music. So I just wanted to clarify that before she starts mentioning rock music. So here's the rest of the interview.
Oh my gosh. So we're back up and running. I'm so excited. So we were talking about like how your goals changed from the beginning of undergrad to the end of grad school. And I think we talked about how, you know, you like didn't know how much you loved teaching and yeah.
And it was so, I was so lucky to have rock music because I guess I didn't say this, but, when I decided that performance wasn't my thing, I kind of, like, took some time to, like, take stock of, like, what actually made me happy. And,
yeah.
Like, you kind of have this, like, moment of honesty where you're, like, okay, Now, don't be like, don't judge yourself. Stop judging yourself for what actually makes you happy.
Yes.
And, like, looking back over everything, I realized that when I'm, like, really, truly happy, it's always been when I'm helping somebody else or volunteering or doing outreach and stuff like that. And so rock music was awesome. And I just mentioned to my friend Erin Lensing, it's like, you know, I'd love to, like, work with kids and I'd love to, like, volunteer doing that. And she turned me towards Alex Pena, and I started working there, and I was like, this is amazing. This is it. Like, I feel like I'm helping people.
Yeah.
You know, we're giving them music for free. I actually know what I'm doing, kind of. and, like, yeah. So that was exciting. That was my first experience with El Sistema.
Yeah.
And it just, like, changed my world. Like, yeah. El Sistema is such a great thing. And, like, I don't know if that's what I want to do forever, but I just, like, really 100% support that.
It's something that's...
cause.
That's making you happy and working right now. And
And it just, you know, I don't know.
What's not to like about, you know.
How can you not love El Sistema?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
So when you first got back to Chicago, so like after Eastman, then you decided to move back to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Was that like, I mean, did you know when you were graduating from Eastman, were you like, I think I want to go back to Chicago or...
Yeah, kind of. I, you know, for a while I was like, I'm going to move anywhere because I have no attachments to anything. And I, like, played around with the idea of moving to Maine because I've always wanted to.
It's pretty up there.
It's pretty. Like, yeah. I want to go to there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just knew everybody in Chicago already and I knew I could get a job here. So that's kind of, it was
it's
just
like hard to argue with.
Yeah. Like, my best friend lived here and I wanted to be with her again. And
yeah.
Like, It made a lot of sense. I knew it wouldn't take super long to get a job. And the way I left Eastman was, like, very unconventional. I, like, didn't wait around to graduate, and I had to finish all my classes a month early because of financial reasons.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
I couldn't pay my rent for, like, the last month. So
yeah.
I was like, all right, bye!
See ya!
So, yeah, I was, like, fortunate enough to have, like, enough loans to cover classes. So I was like, okay... All my teachers are awesome, and they're letting me finish my classes, but I'm out. So
yeah.
I actually finished my final for medieval music history with Michael Anderson in the bedroom of one of my friends here in Chicago. So, but yeah, I, like, couch surfed for a month, and the transition was not smooth. It lacked smoothness. If I can... like, emphasize something more than anything.
It was, a lack
it
of
was not a good transition. But yeah.
You but know, you made it.
You do what you gotta do.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean.
And I was lucky because my roommate now, who I've now lived with for almost 2 years, she needed a roommate and we were in the clarinet studio together at the ball. So it was like, hey, do you have a situation? And she's like, no, please live with me. And it was great. So.
We make situations.
And it's actually, like, perfect. Every other living situation I've ever been in has been, like, hyper-planned.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
We plan. And this one was so last minute, and we're, like, the perfect roommates.
Aww.
Like, we're both very chill and kind of messy, and it's perfect.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah,
sounds
and she
great.
Likes my dog, so.
Well, there you go.
So we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Addie? Oh, she's on the couch. She's being, like, really peaceful.
She's tired.
I can't wait. Is your dog is a Basset and...
Beagle
mix.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a cutie.
Yeah.
So when you first got to Chicago, did you have an idea? I guess you kind of maybe did have an idea of how you wanted to move forward.
Mm-hmm. It was basically get a job now, please.
Right.
So I got a job within a week of being here. So I was like really lucky.
Damn.
But it was not music. So was I lucky? I don't know. But yeah, I started working at a daycare immediately. And that was cool. Yeah. I actually had a job lined up before I got here, which is a funny story because, Rochester, I got my New York driver's license when I was at Eastman, and they spelled two of my three names wrong on my driver's license.
God.
Lindsay was correct, but Stephanie Fredrickson were both incorrect.
Oh, my God.
And so I never got a change because I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I can get into a bar, so that's all I need this for. And I moved back here, and it turns out it does matter.
Oh, shit.
Because when you have to get a background check, you have to have two forms of ID that match each other. And so you can't work at a daycare if you have no background check, and you can't get a background check unless you have two forms of ID, and you can't get a driver's license until you have an apartment, and you can't get an apartment without a job.
Oh, no. It's a traffic circle of death.
It really was. It was a disaster. And basically, I lucked out because the daycare I started working at was fine with being completely illegal and not compliant with DCFS. And they were like, yeah, sure, it's totally fine if you wait 2 months to get a background check. Which, like, looking back on it, that's not okay.
No.
I won't say their name here.
Right. That's fine.
But, I mean, it worked out for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not a rapist.
No,
so.
You're not, like, you don't do anything terrible to children. So
I don't. I love kids. So. But yeah, I lucked out really hard.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I worked at that daycare for like 9 months.
Okay.
And then I slowly built up the music stuff. It was just like my big goal was just get paid by music 100%. Yeah. Which I think is like everybody's kind of.
Yeah,
like,
the goal is to, you know, make music full-time.
I want my income to come from music-related things.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it wasn't going to be from clarinet-related, necessarily.
Right, but something like, but music-related, yeah, really, at least tangentially.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want to pay me to play my instrument, that'd be cool, but, you know, I'm not counting on that. So, yeah. And then I got hired by Ravinia, which was really exciting, because when I first came back into the city, a bunch of my friends worked for Ravinia's Sistema program, and I, like, basically attacked my friend. I was like, tell me all about it right now! Because I love Sistema, oh my god. And she was like, whoa, hi, first of all.
But good to see you.
She's like, it's nice that you're back in the city. Can we start there? But yeah, she recommended me and I got hired and it was awesome. And now I work there.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, so everything is kind of like, I'm now 100% music income, which is awesome. But like, that took a while. So.
Yeah, as it does. Yeah, it's never like, oh my god, I have all these gigs and I'm just great.
It's so great. It's so easy.
If anybody tells me that happens to them, like, I just got this gig and then I got another gig and then I just keep getting more gigs. I'm like, shut.
You are the only one.
It's just you. Okay. Aside from Ravinia, it seems like you're doing a ton of other stuff. You were just telling me that you had like 5 jobs and now you have like 4 jobs, which is still a lot. So right. Can you just walk me through like what you're doing?
So I work at Ravinia, like I just said, and I do that every day for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's an after-school program and I teach clarinet. I love my kids. Oh my god, they're hilarious and wonderful. And yeah, so that's fun. And I used to do more, like, not clarinet stuff with them. Like, I would help with bucket drumming and orchestra. But, like, for the most part, it's clarinet now.
Yeah.
And then in the spring, I co-teach a beginning flute class, actually. Which is very much like a general music type thing. But they get, like, little plastic flutes.
Aww.
And, yeah. So it's pretty cute. But I do that with Ravinia, too. Which is, like, 1 day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I also teach just general music for a nonprofit called Foundations of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And their big mission is to take music into schools that can't afford it. And yeah. And the idea is that once you make it a part of the school culture, then eventually when they can't afford it, they'll just have their own music teacher and they wouldn't need to go anymore and you'd move on to like another school. Uh-huh. So they're not like trying. I hear a lot of arguments events like against programs like that because they're like, well, then you don't have to pay a music teacher. And I feel that,
right.
But most of those schools can't afford a music teacher anyway. It's not like they're doing it as a cop-out. They're doing it as, like, it's either this or there is none.
Right.
Like, there is no music at all.
Right.
So
like, it's like, I mean, the idea is to get the music to the kids, so it's
right.
Like,
it's not, it, yeah. They don't give it to schools that could afford it and just choose not to.
Right, yeah. It's not like people are just, like, coasting.
Right, yeah. So that's what I always say to that argument.
Yeah.
I think that that's kind of a common misconception, but I don't think that that's necessarily super true a lot of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that school's great. I teach it one school a week for that, and it's, like, 5 hours, like, 5 classes in a row.
Wow.
And it's really cute. They're adorable. It's K through 3. And then
those are, like, good ages, I feel like.
They're so good. Yeah. I love elementary schoolers. They're the best.
Aww. Before they get sassy.
Yeah. They still respect middle school authority. They don't question me. They question me. You see me right now?
Look, do you even see me?
Do you know who I am? They don't care.
Miss Lindsay.
Miss Lindsay. Doesn't that strike fear into your heart? But yeah. And then I teach private lessons at a music store on Saturdays called Flats and Sharp.
Yeah. That's adorable.
It's pretty cute. I have a million kids there slash adults also, but they all cancel their lessons all the time, so I never teach more than like 7 at a time. But yeah, it's really fun. I'm the winds and brass teacher there, which is hilarious because I don't really play brass. Yeah. I can play a sound on a brass instrument, and as long as I'm better than they are, that's
right. You just all need matters, to stay right? like a lesson ahead of them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, so that's fun. I started a 3rd grader on trumpet, and he was so cute. It was like I had him do like ta 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 ta, and it was like, and then as soon as he finished, he like took it out. He goes, "Oh my god, do you like Star Wars?" And I was like, "We're gonna be best friends. So I love this kid." And he didn't even hate me for being like, "No, I don't. I haven't seen them all." And he's like, "Oh, I've only seen one of them." Aww. So cute.
Oh my god.
But yeah, that's fun. I teach mainly saxophone. I have a lot of saxophone students.
Oh, okay.
All right. Oh, yeah. And then after that, I was teaching a class at DePaul for clarinet saxophone methods. Mm-hmm. So teaching music ed majors how to do that. And that's over now. Submitted grades.
Nice.
And what's the other thing? Oh, and then I have my admin job. And I'm the educational programming coordinator for Fifth House Ensemble.
Very nice.
Which, you know, involves a lot of scheduling mainly. A lot of scheduling and, like,
do they,
staffing.
Like, go into schools and stuff, or what is it?
Yeah, so we have 3 residencies operating right now. So we work with a place called Teen Living Programs, which is a teen, like, a homeless teen resource center for people that are, like, 17 to 24, mainly. I think they will work with kids down to 14, but they just don't, generally.
Yeah,
and they'll stop in for any kind of resources, like bus passes, food, and help with employment, resumes and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, we go in and we're doing songwriting and entrepreneurship residency there. Yeah. And all of our residencies are like 8 weeks long. So that was we just finished up our 4th, I think? Maybe third or 4th one there. And then we work with Deborah's Place, which is a homeless women's residence, I guess. So we basically do a musical poetry slam at the end, but we help them write poetry. Which is really cool.
That's so cool.
And this year we're refining it to be about blues music and blues poetry. So that's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's oh my gosh. Really cool. And they're really digging it. That residency is only 5 weeks, but it's our only 5-week residency. And then the other place is Nancy B. Jefferson School, which is the detention center.
Okay.
So we work with kids in the juvenile detention center. And there we're doing graphic score residency, so the kids will, like, make their own compositions, and then Fifth House musicians will play it.
Do they, I mean, I assume they're not, like, they're not doing notation, it's some sort of, like...
Yeah, it's all pictures, like, they're drawing
it's
it.
It's very, like, Xenakis. Like.
Yes, yeah, it totally is, it's really
that's
cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's fun, and they're learning about elements of music that way, like melody and articulation and dynamics and all that kind
awesome.
Of stuff. Yeah. So that's cool.
Do they like it?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it. The musicians are awesome. Like, they really have a way of reaching kids.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like you can reach kids if you're not an asshole. Like,
yeah.
You know, people make it out like it's this huge skill. I'm like, no, anyone can talk to children
just
if you're
like,
just, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, they can tell when you're an asshole.
Right.
Like, I don't know. And I was, it's cool because to go into, to even enter the detention center, you have to go through PREA training, which is the Prison Rape Elimination Act.
Whoa.
Training. And as you can imagine, that's really depressing.
Yeah.
oh my gosh. That's, thanks, George Bush.
Yay!
It's a good measure. But we got to meet a bunch of other volunteers that go in, and I was, like, really, like, pleasantly surprised to see how many people are going in.
Yeah.
So that was actually really good. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, like, people, this is not just us, which is, like, a good
thing.
Yeah. Like, a lot of organizations, churches, lots of nonprofits going to work with them, and that's great. I think that's awesome. There's another place here that does it, and it's really cool, called Free Write Jail Arts. I think it's what it's called, Freewrite. And they do, they like go in and help them create art and writing and stuff like that. And it, the part of the problem with like the juvenile detention system is that because they're all underage, you can't give them any contact information or like tell them where to find you or like reach out to you after they come out of the system. Why? Because they don't want like any contact. I don't know. There's it's like a lot of privacy weirdness.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of, they have actually, I've talked to them before and they're like, no, we ignore those rules because like these kids, if you have a really good connection with the kid, you're going to help that kid.
You
want
to be
out.
Able to like support them in any way you can.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like they're doing it for the protection of those kids and their privacy and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but
totally
you want to be able to maintain a relationship. That, like, a positive relationship, not a creepy one, after.
Right.
And I think they're like, really worried about the creepy ones.
Yeah, but. Understandable.
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, cool.
But, yeah, that's Fifth House's residencies. and they also do workshops. Like, oh like anything that you would assume. That, like, normal music education workshops.
So that's your cool. That's your bag, is Fifth House education stuff.
Yes, I just do all that.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Do you, okay, so living in Chicago, do you have any specific, or they can also be non-specific, do you have any goals, like long-term ideas for projects that might come out of all the different experiences you're having now?
I'm actually doing pretty much everything I'm doing right now for like the explicit purpose that I want to start my own nonprofit soonish.
Yeah.
As soon as I can.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
have
it's
the
not like
experience
super
I need.
Easy.
Right. I want to design something that like provides arts education for free.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time I was like, I'm going to do a Sistema program.
Right.
But I'm a firm believer that music is not the only way to reach kids. And
yeah.
I think that we kind of get into that mindset as musicians because we're like, it really changed my life. And I'm like,
right.
Which it totally did. But it's one of many arts.
Yeah, it's not the way to reach everyone.
It's not the only way. And I really want to build a nonprofit that's like for, like a quad. I think of it as a quad thing. But like it's music, visual art, theater, and dance.
Yeah.
And then it would like have classes for all of that and like, you know, your normal programs under each of those. But then they would collaborate. So you could have like the music kids working with the theater kids to do musicals, or like music kids working with the dance kids to do ballet, or the dance kids working with the theater kids to do that.
That.
Whatever that looks like. I'm sure they have ideas, but I'm in either of those. But, you know, and like the visual art kids could definitely do like sets and all kinds of stuff. But I think like if, you know, teaching that collaborative nature early on, and just doing that kind of thing. But yeah. So that is like the long-term goal. I'm going to start with the music side because it's the only side I know anything about.
Right. And then you can, you know,
but
like pull other people into your circle.
And I'm lucky that I've met a lot of really great people in Chicago that are strong in those areas. I'm lucky, like, during the summers I work at Old Town School Folk Music and they hire the coolest people. I don't know where they get these people, but oh, God, they're so cool. I've met comedians and actors and dancers and yoga people, and it's just, like, they're so cool, and, you know, they're strong in their field, and, you know, later on, when it comes time, I will have people to reach out to.
Yeah, you're building your network.
Exactly.
You're just, you know.
So, yeah. Everything I'm doing right now is to go towards that. I'm really still hoping to get some experience with more admin side of stuff. That's why Fifth House is, like, perfect for me right now.
Yeah.
But I need to learn more about, you know, development. I'm really bad at talking to rich people. And I'm really bad at asking for money.
It's really, like, it's such a skill that you have to actually learn.
Yeah. And I just, like, have to contain my eye rolls. And, you know, like.
Yeah,
I'm so poor almost always. You know, it's just very hard for me to relate to you.
Yeah,
But I need to learn how to do that because I'm going to have to do that at some point.
Absolutely.
And more about grant writing. I took the one grant writing course at Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It was a great class, but I still feel like, what?
There's a lot that I think it just takes a lot of, like, diving in and having to do it. Like, obviously, you can learn a lot from, like, was it like Mark Powell's class, I'm assuming. Yeah, which is, I've heard so many great things about that class. It's awesome. It's also, like, you just have to do it.
Yeah, and, like, you don't know what you're going to need a grant for until you have a very specific need for a grant, generally. Mm-hmm. Or, like, a specific organization, and none of us had organizations. So it was like, what are we doing? But now I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
And it's like, and it's, I mean, it's good that, like, you're wanting to do the whole nonprofit thing, because it's so hard to get grants if it's not for a nonprofit. Yeah. It's just, like, impossible.
And you have to have the 501c3, and it's, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't have that. I don't have anything yet.
You will. But you will, Lindsay.
Very soon, hopefully, yeah.
Baby steps. You're putting together the pieces, and you'll get there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Baby steps.
So do you have anything, like, on the horizon for, like, early spring, like, midwinter, spring-ish? It's okay if you don't, but I just thought I'd ask.
I don't know. I might be doing a musical. That was, like, when that musical thing was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I've never done any pit playing, and I really want to. So
contractors, call Lindsay Frederick.
So call me.
Hire her.
I want to do that.
She's a boss lady.
I want to do that. That'd be really fun. I play saxophones and flute.
Yeah. Yeah, you play all the right things.
I play the things I need to play. Yeah, that might be happening. And then, yeah, I don't think, nothing else really super specific. Keep teaching.
Yeah.
I'm going to start that little beginner flute class. Nice.
Teach the flute, babies.
Yeah. I am thinking about, going to some community centers and offering up my services as a music teacher and being like, I'll teach a music class for free if you let me do that. And then
if you'll have me.
If you'll have me. Because I would love to, like, start doing, like, assessments and have some stuff to show funders.
Yeah, absolutely.
For grants.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And general music's really cheap, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You don't really need anything if you don't have it.
Right.
Which I don't. So, perfect.
You're in a good place.
Yeah, I have a guitar that I don't know how to play.
Yeah.
You know, that's perfect. What could go wrong? But yeah, nothing. That's about it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your patience with my technical difficulties.
It's all good. Thank you for my... I don't use my words.
Thanks for listening to episode 2 of Odd Pod. Come back on February 9th, and you can hear my conversation with cellist Titi Layo Ayangare.